The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Here come the Hawks. Mikheyev with 3 points tonight. Stick handles on Orlov. Moves around and back behind the net. Backhand shot save. Rebound. Score! Mikheyev got around Orlov on that play. That was the critical part of it. A great save on the backhand shot by Mikheyev, by the goaltender Nedeljkovic, but Ryan Donato is right there to bang it in and make it 6-3 Chicago. And that's a tough one to take at the 14:41 mark of the third.
Do you get a sense that the belief is still there even after some tough losses here?
Yeah, I really do. I know our guys. We meet with them individually and as a group. They know. They see it. You know, there's no, it's not like we're sitting there, you know, arguing over certain things. Our players know, the guys know, they care. This is frustrating. Every team goes through some ups and downs in the season. We're just going through a down right now. You know, kind of had one game affect two right now, and we got to get out of it. That's really what it comes down to.
Testing, one, two, testing. All right, good morning, everyone. How are we doing? It is Tuesday, February 3rd. The San Jose Sharks currently sit at fourth in the wild card rankings, 58 points on the season, 27 wins, 23 losses, 4 overtime losses, full 27-27 on the year. They are 4-5-1 in their last 10 games, and they have now lost 3 straight, including the overtime loss to Edmonton, then Calgary, and then Chicago. And I think we can point back at that Edmonton loss as being particularly painful because they had that game in hand. They had a 3-0 lead, and they were not able to hold on, and they lost. They were able to take a point out of that game, but in this current NHL Western Conference where everything is so tightly bunched, you can't just take 1 point. You can't let a win slip away. And most importantly, what the Sharks have done not good is that they have let this rumble into a 3-game losing streak. They had the ability to beat a team like Calgary. They didn't. They had the ability to beat a team like Chicago, and they came out of the gate sleepy. They came out of the gate slow. They got themselves in a hole early. They were on the kill 3 times in the first period and then 4 times by the early goings of the second period. It was just not a good performance by San Jose. They're down 4-0 early in this game, and as soon as they get one on the board, they give up a fifth to go down 5-1. Then we look big picture. Every time they've got a chance to wrestle momentum back by way of the power play, when it's 5-3 or 5-2, they're not able to take advantage of that power play and gain momentum. The Blackhawks did a good job with their forecheck. They've got the top-ranked penalty kill in the league, and they were able to just take it to the Sharks in the critical moments of the game. And that's what it often comes down to. We talk about those critical moments. You point back to the way they played in the end of the game against Calgary when they took too many men and they were trying to get the 6-on-5 advantage there with the empty net. That's not a good penalty to take in that situation. That's a critical moment of failure. We talk about Edmonton. They're up 3-0. They're up 3-1. They're up 3-2. And they've got 2 man advantages when they pull their goalie for Edmonton. They fail in the critical moment, and then they fail in overtime, losing 4-3 in that game. Critical moments where they're coming up short. And then yesterday, again, critical moments when they've got the power play, ability to take advantage of the game, they fail. And that's what is defining what I would say is a mini funk right now. And the Sharks have not lost more than 3 games in a row since the start of the season, right? Like, that was the 0-4-2 start, strict 6 straight losses. They lost 6 in a row. And since then, they've been significantly better. There is no denying that. But then we also have to look at the fact that the San Jose Sharks have lost 3 in a row, and they're about to go into the toughest building against the best team in the league in Colorado, and that is a very, very stiff challenge. The San Jose Sharks could be entering the Olympic break on a four-game losing streak, a mini-funk losing slide that they have not seen since their worst part of the season when they opened up with six straight losses. Now, I know Ryan Warsawski said in the postgame that there are going to be some lineup changes. Perhaps, in my opinion, I'm not quoting him on this, but perhaps that will mean the debut of a Kiefer Sherwood. We'll have to wait and see. Of course, his health is paramount. You don't want to put him out there before he's ready. But the San Jose Sharks need a little bit of a boost. They need a little bit of a bump. They need something to get things going because right now they just seem flat. They seem slow. They seem a little bit sloppy. They seem to be falling into bad habits, and nothing that they're doing right now is leading to success. And I think we can go no further than talking about the issues that we're seeing with a player like Yaroslav Askarov, because I'm not sure what's going on with his game. He has all the talent in the world. Last night was not one of those games where the defense just faltered in front of him. That was him simply not being his best self. He wasn't ready to go. It didn't seem like he was seeing the puck well. It seemed like he couldn't make the saves early on. That's not to say that the defense was perfect around him in every single situation, but he just didn't look like he was on top of his game. And he really hasn't been able to consistently string together what I would consider his best performances for a while. He just has not been able to look like the Yaroslav Askarov that we all know he is capable of being. And that's the what, you know, a guy like Thomas Spear is for. He is the quote-unquote goalie whisperer, for lack of a better term. And I think that they need to figure out what exactly is going on with Yaro to figure out how he can get back to his best self, because he has not been his quote-unquote best self for a while. He's had moments, but he has not been, you know, the guy that he's expected to be, the guy that the Sharks go out and make the trade for. You know, he had four goals against last night, four goals against in the loss against Edmonton. He only gave up two against Vancouver, but Vancouver is the worst team in the league. He had three in the loss against the Lightning. He gave up three in the loss against Detroit. And those are just his last five games. If we look at his season overall, he is at a 3.55 goals against average, an 8.87 save percentage, 17 wins through 34 games played. And then if you look at his career numbers are better than what he's done this year. 50 games played, 22 wins, 3.38 goals against average, 8.91 save percentage. So not like he's marginally better in his career, because the majority of his career has happened in this season, but there is an issue going on right now. He's not playing his best game. He's not being his best self. Now, he has played almost 10 games more than Alex Nedeljkovic right now, but Alex Nedeljkovic has a 2.91 goal against average, has an 8.99 save percentage. So Nedeljkovic right now, even with a smaller sample size, has been a better goalie for San Jose, and he has not had as many situations where, in my opinion, he's just not been able to get into his game as many times. Nedeljkovic, it seems like he can work his way into a game. Seems like Askarov has to be that guy from the start. And so Askarov needs to figure that out. The Sharks gave up big, big pieces for him. The Tomas Hertl trade essentially turned into the acquisition of Yaroslav Askarov, and that's what San Jose needs him to be. They need him to be the player they traded for, and I think it's fully there. And we all knew there were going to be bumps in the road for what San Jose was going through this year to try and be, you know, a learning team and a developing team at the NHL level. Yaroslav Askarov has all the ability in the world, but developing that talent is the hardest part of it, to turn him into that next level goalie. I have no doubt that he can get there. The Sharks just need to figure out how to get him there, and that's going to be a big piece of the equation going forward. When we look elsewhere at last night's game, you know, there were a lot of changes with the lines and the way they shuffled things around. I think that one of the things that I was looking at was the fact that, especially with moving a Tyler Toffoli to that top line with Celebrini and Smith, and Tyler Toffoli, I think the consensus has been this year that he has not been fast enough to go with Smith and Celebrini, particularly Celebrini in a non-power play situation. But I think that far too often in the last couple of games, especially since Edmonton, instead of the Sharks establishing that puck possession, they've been trying to do too much with the home run pass, work in transition. And I know that's great when you can do it at certain moments of the game, but I think you can get stretched out and then you can get kind of counterattacked too many times, giving up the puck, not establishing that offensive zone time, getting multiple chances, getting multiple attempts, rebounds, get the defense scrambling. It seems like you're either going, you know, 100 and getting that goal, or else you're getting stuck and then quickly going back in the other direction. You're not making the other team defend as much. You're not putting them on their heels. So those were some of the things that I saw out of last night. I didn't like them changing Misa and Eklund. I thought they'd had good chemistry going together. I would like to see, you know, just a little bit more of the balance and chemistry they had on some of those lines previously. I know that Ryan Warsawski is trying to find answers, is trying to send messages. I just don't know if that was the answer he was looking for, because it didn't look like it stepped up to the moment last night. I thought that there were a lot of positives and negatives for all the players and all the lines and all the pairings. It just wasn't the Sharks' night. And, you know, we know there's been a virus going on with the team. We know that there are, you know, that's part of the reality of, you know, what the NHL season is going to bring. We know that the Sharks have been on the road for a while. I'm not saying there aren't mitigating circumstances, but, you know, if you make changes in the lineup and you're trying to tell your team they need to respond and that response is falling down 4-0, that means probably that that's not the right answer. And the Sharks hopefully will be able to figure it out. We look at the game last night and the total numbers, you know, the shots on goal, the Sharks, after having, you know, I think just one in the first period, eventually had 27, but that was far too slow in coming, and they were down early, and they were down 4-0. They did win the faceoff battle, but the power play 0-for-4 versus 1-for-4, that's a big critical situation in the game that I referenced. They were not the better team on the power play, you know, many times they needed to be. They out-hit Chicago. I appreciated that. But again, you go down 4-0 on the road, you are going to lose that game, I would say, 99.9999999% of the time. Yes, the Sharks mounted a comeback. It fell short. Yes, the Sharks have been able to come down from big deficits like they did in Pittsburgh at points of this season. But just because you can does not mean that that should be the situation that you find yourself in consistently throughout the game. Macklin Celebrini had a two-point game. Again, he's at the vanguard. He's always leading the way for San Jose. He had a goal and assist. Tyler Toffoli with a point. Vinny Desharnais with a point. Philip Kurashev with a point. Shakir Mukhmudulin. He had a nice goal. He had some other moments defensively where I didn't love his game, but it's good to see him finding his game overall. Ekki had a point. Will Smith had a goal. Again, Will Smith has been on fire since coming back from the injury. I know that he was pretty good before the injury. There's no doubt about that, but it just seems like he is ready to go. Need a little bit more defense from him. Hopefully he'll continue to figure out that aspect of his game. Colin Graf had another point, because that's just what Colin Graf does. This was not by any means a terrible, terrible game by San Jose. It was a terrible, terrible start by San Jose. And again, you get yourself in a deficit early on. You're chasing the game on the road. We all know how that goes. I do appreciate that things can get rolling. It's just the fact that San Jose put themselves in that hole, and that's just hard to get out of. You're not going to find success that way. And I think that San Jose looked better throughout the game. They played their way back into it. But again, you spot a team that type of a lead, they have a margin for error. It's that fourth goal that they probably needed against Edmonton, right? You know, that you need a little bit of a margin of error. And then Chicago at critical moments was able to add on. It's 4-0. The Sharks score to make it 4-1. Then it's 5-4. And again, the Sharks are trying to push late, and, you know, they are able to score to make it a 6-3 game. And that's not going to be enough for San Jose. And the real question now is how they respond against Colorado. Right now, they have only earned 3 points on this road trip, of which a possible 10 could be earned. If they beat Colorado and end up with a 2-2-1 record with 500 on the points, I would not say that is a passing of the test, but it's a salvaging. If you win only one out of these five games, that is going to be a fail grade on the road trip. And so this is a big game for San Jose. We need to see how they respond. We need to see what their mettle is. I know there are comparisons to how they played before the Christmas break, when they found themselves in a bit of a hole. And we'll see what they're able to do in terms of a response. But right now, San Jose's got to figure things out. And this is what all good teams go through. I look at the way that the Ducks have been able to bounce back after they had a stretch where they were just not in a good way at all. Is San Jose going to be able to keep this from turning into an extended stretch of poor play, or are they going to be able to bounce back and maybe get some points out of the game against Colorado coming up tomorrow night? Those are the questions for San Jose, and those are not easy answers, right? Like, you need to have your goalie step up. I don't know if it's going to be Askarov or Nedeljkovic. I would assume it's Ned going up against Colorado. I have not yet done a dive into their career numbers against Colorado, but whoever's in net is going to have a huge challenge in front of them. Colorado's the best team in the league this year, and it's at elevation, so that's a difficult situation for any team going into Colorado. But we know the Sharks need a response. They need some juice. They need an emotional uplifting. They need a hot start that they're able to hold on to. They need to do 10 out of 10 things correctly in this game against Colorado, or else it's not going to be a good night. So for San Jose, that's one they want to turn the page on and hopefully come up with a better performance against the Avs tomorrow night. Let's get into some of these highlights from last night and our man Dan Ruzanowski. Connor Bedard on the power play got things going early for Chicago.
Matt Greslick down low now into the corner. Bertuzzi is there. Centering pass. Oh boy, Bedard shoots and scores. We're 7 minutes into this first period, and we're already seeing the skill and the elan of Connor Bedard.
What a shot by Connor Bedard. We all know how strong his shot is, especially close range. I don't think Askarov had any chance to stop that. That was one of the few that I thought that I wasn't going to say that he should have got to, but I suppose you could have made the argument that he could have got over to it, but I don't know. But that was a bad start for San Jose, down 1-0 on the road. And Connor Bedard is rolling early on. It's 1-0. I think, though, even though the Sharks did have success on other kills in the first period, when you give up that one goal early on, then you have to go on the kill multiple times, it's going to be in a tough way for the team. And that's what led to the early second period goal for Chicago. Connor Murphy made it 2-0. Then former San Jose Shark Ryan Donato nets his 12th of the year to make it 3-0. And then Sam Rinzell made it 4-0 for the Blackhawks just roughly halfway through the second. And the Sharks are wondering what on earth is going on. And Nedeljkovic is coming out of the game.
So Liljegren back on defense with Orlov, gives his D partner the puck. Orlov sends a long feed ahead. That's a beautiful feed to Smith. Semi-breakaway moving in. Backhander. Oh, it hit the outside of the post. He just missed. He deked the puck around Knight. And then he ran out of real estate. And his backhand chance should have gone in, but it hit the outside of the post. And no soap for San Jose. Mikheyev back the other way. This could be dangerous. And they score! Mikheyev centers to Rinzell right after Will Smith had that golden chance to get the Sharks on the board. His puck hit the outside of the post. Up ice come the Blackhawks, and Mikheyev gets to Rinzell. The youngster puts it in to make it 4-0 Chicago.
But San Jose would find a little bit of life. Will Smith, his 17th of the year, assisted by Macklin Celebrini and Colin Graf, got the Sharks on the board. Let there be life for San Jose in this game.
Celebrini across the line. Rips one wide of the net. Celebrini gets his own rebound. Behind the net. Centering feed. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith gets the puck back from Macklin Celebrini and gets the Sharks on the board. At 12:05 in the second period, Smith makes it a 4-1 game, and Will Smith extends his point scoring streak to 5 straight games.
Again, Will Smith continues to impress with his play day in, day out. I've loved watching his development. The consistency in his game is remarkable. The next step of his game is to be that much more physical and defensive out there on the ice. It doesn't happen overnight. He's got to continue to gain weight and have size to his game, but he is doing what he is tasked with doing right now in the NHL, and that is being a consistent, dangerous scorer and playmaker out on the ice for San Jose. But the problem there for San Jose was that they gave up a 5th goal shortly thereafter, taking the wind out of their sails, and suddenly they're staring at a 4-goal deficit just about 36 seconds after they finally got on the board.
It's Donato. He's got a goal against San Jose, his old team. Bodied up there by Celebrini, trying to center it. Now it's Dickinson. Shoots. Tip. Score! Ilya Mikheyev in the slot is going to get credit for the goal, and that is going to be his 3rd point of the game to make the score 5-1 in favor of Chicago. For Ilya Mikheyev, it is his 11th goal of the season. And this line of Dickinson, Donato, and Mikheyev is cleaning up today.
We often talk about that first shift after you score a goal. That's a letdown for San Jose that just can't happen. You get yourself back into the game. And we talk about critical moments. If you're trying to mount a comeback, how you play specifically in that first shift after a goal is so, so critical. And the Sharks had a letdown. Instead of being down by 3 goals, they are down 4 goals once again, negating the goal they had just scored and putting themselves in a 4-goal deficit once again. But the Sharks would show another sign of life, 15-11 of the second period. Macklin Celebrini scoring his 28th of the year, assisted by Tyler Toffoli and William Eklund to bring the Sharks within three.
Donato make that Orloff on the right side. And he backhands into Blackhawks territory. Celebrini in there forechecking, got it to Toffoli, sends it toward the net in front. Celebrini shoots and scores! Celebrini made the defensive play in the corner, and the moment that he tipped the puck back toward Toffoli on the right point, he streaked to the front of the net. Toffoli, seeing that, put the puck right on the tape, and Macklin tips it up top, and the Sharks have their second goal of the game.
Now, shortly after this, the Sharks have another one of those critical situations where they can't capitalize. It's 18-19 of the second period. There's a delay of game, puck over the glass penalty. The Sharks go on the power play. If you're listening to the audio network, you heard Jamal Mayer say that this is a chance for the Sharks to get back into the game. This is the game, I believe, what Mayer said, and the Sharks were not able to capitalize. And instead of making it a 5-3 game of that point, they don't score again until you get into the third period. Shakir Mukhmudulin, with a very nice goal, gives the Sharks a 2-goal deficit, making it 5-3 of 2:13 of the third period, assisted by Philip Kurashev and Vinny Desharnais.
There's Misa with it, trying to keep it going. Coming in there was Desharnais. He senses Kurashev's back on the point. Gives Phil the puck. Stick handles. Throws it across. In front. The score! Mukhmudulin from Kurashev. And the Sharks are back in the game at 2:13 to the third. The score, the Blackhawks 5 and the Sharks 3.
I love and appreciate the effort from San Jose. I like that Shakir Mukhmudulin is playing with a little bit more aggression since he has come back from injury. But unfortunately, that is as close as San Jose would get. They had their opportunities on the power play after this, but every time Chicago, who has the best kill in the league, was able to stop San Jose. Frustrations till the very end. Donato scores a second goal of the game. He puts this one away, making it a 6-3 score, and that was your final in favor of Chicago.
And here come the Hawks. Mikheyev with 3 points tonight. Stick handles on Orloff. Moves around and back behind the net. Backhand shot, save. Rebound, score. Mikheyev got around Orloff on that play. That was the critical part of it. A great save on the backhand shot by Mikheyev, by the goaltender Nedeljkovic, but Ryan Donato is right there to bang it in and make it 6-3 Chicago. And that's a tough one to take at the 14:41 mark of the third.
Great game by Ryan Donato. 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points overall. And the San Jose Sharks walk away with a 6-3 loss. Let's get into some of the post-game reaction. This is what head coach Ryan Warsawski thought after the game.
Yeah, they put us on our heels quickly. Their forecheck and then our puck play getting out of run and struggled again.
See the second period, especially just some defensive zones. So breakdown just not being physical enough. I mean, just in terms of their goals and how you saw that.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. Starts with puck play. Then we don't play through people and get into people. And then we separate the one that we give up, the one timer in the middle of the ice is atrocious. So that's a tough goal to give up, you know, especially after we just scored as well. So yeah, we shoot ourselves in the foot with some puck play and then not playing through people and, you know, not covering dangerous ice.
How frustrating is it to get started in the game with 3 penalties in the first period? A couple of the guys mentioned it. Just how difficult is it to get into a rhythm when that happens?
Yeah, it's tough. We like to play 4 lines. It's hard to do that.
On that Renzel goal, it looked like a lot of the problems started with that exchange between Mukhmudulin and Orloff, and then just kind of what happened there, like what has to be better there?
Everything has to be better. You know, I'd have to go back and watch it and go through it again, but there was a lot of goals scored tonight, so it's not good enough.
What's the message? What would you evaluate Askarov tonight? Like you said, it was kind of tough goal for him tonight. How would you kind of evaluate this?
Just felt like he probably couldn't get into the game with some saves early, and I think he's a guy that kind of feeds off the feel and, you know, didn't really get tested much there in the first, but they score one, and then the second it was bang-bang, and, you know, the one obviously from the wall he probably wants back, but, yeah, we need our goalies. We need Askew to get better. You know, we need our players to get better.
We asked about the power play this morning. Players in there said you just need to execute more on the power play. What parts are they not executing? What needs to happen to make those plays be executed?
We're just not making the right plays. You know, we're not moving the puck quick enough. There's no pace to it. We're slow. We got to really revamp this thing.
What do you mean with revamp? What do you want to see differently?
Oh, there's be some personnel changes for sure.
Has that loss at Edmonton, do you think, had a little bit of a lingering effect in terms of this team just not being able to sort of get its swagger back or its confidence back?
Yeah, it probably has, to be honest with you, which is unfortunate. You know, but again, we've been punched in the mouth and in the gut right now. We got to move forward. It is what it is. There's a lot of hockey to be played. We got to learn from it. This is probably a new situation for where we are right now, and I think it's kind of getting to us in a sense. We got to, you know, we got one game left before the break, and we got to really zero in on the things that we need to do that have had that made us have success up to this point. So we got to, you know, dust off, get up, stand up, get a good practice in tomorrow, and be ready for Colorado.
So what you're going through right now will kind of remind you of what you guys did right before the Christmas break. You guys lost 3 in a row. It just seemed like it was just tough to turn things around at that point. Does what you're going through now remind you of back then at all?
No, this is different. This is a different, you know, I thought that we had moments back then. We were still playing some good hockey and losing games. We're just not playing close to 60 minutes. And again, I think the outside's perspective and the people are talking about us, which I get it, but we got to ignore that. We got to move forward and, again, learn from things that have happened right now and play and just compete and get back to what we did well with our identity of a hockey team.
Do you think the team is kind of seeing, like, these last two games against teams that are lower in the standings and just kind of, I don't want to say overlooked, but just a little, just not as feet there, kind of?
I don't see that at all.
When you look at the belief in the room, the guys in the room are all saying, you know, we have the great guys in the room. Do you get a sense that the belief is still there even after some tough losses here?
Yeah, I really do. I know our guys. We meet with them individually and as a group. They know, they see it. You know, there's no, it's not like we're sitting there, you know, arguing over certain things. Our players know, the guys know, they care. This is frustrating. Every team goes through some ups and downs in the season. We're just going through a down right now. You know, kind of had one game affect two right now, and we got to get out of it. That's really what it comes down to.
What do you think of your forward lines today with some of the adjustments? There were some good moments and bad moments. What did you see?
Yeah, some good things and some things that, again, not good enough. So we'll look at it.
I think the most important takeaway from Ryan Warsowski there is that he doesn't believe that his team has been gutted emotionally or that they don't have it to rebound from this point on. I think he's just frustrated with some of their play and they have to figure it out. Flashing back to a year ago, the San Jose Sharks played better after the Four Nations break, and I think that is something that Ryan Warsowski is looking to take advantage of, to work on some of the fundamentals, some system aspects, some of their tactics. Those are the things that the Sharks can take advantage of as they go into this Olympic break. Obviously, guys will get some rest, then they'll come back and they'll have some time for practice, which the San Jose Sharks, being one of the West Coast teams, have less time to do compared to some of the other teams due to their massive travel schedule. Let's hear from Macklin Celebrini. He had some thoughts after this one.
I think just we got to play better from the start and, I mean, limit those penalties.
Going back to the Calgary game and this first period, has there been a lack of desperation or just what's been missing for this team?
I mean, I think we just went through a little stretch where we didn't have our best. We're trying to go out there, try to play as best as we can, and obviously we all know what these games mean and how we need to play. And I mean, it's frustrating when we're in this position and we don't do that. But we got to be better.
Was there some hope when you made it 5-3 that maybe the momentum had shifted in your favor?
Yeah, I mean, after that first period, I thought we did a really good job of staying on top of them. It's just a couple mistakes, a couple chances that we give up, and they just put it away. And I mean, when they're scoring like that, it's tough to bounce back.
With that in mind, how tough is it to see them score right after you score?
Yeah, it's tough. Those goals give your group a momentum, and then when they just score right away, it kind of, you lose that.
Anything specific you saw in the second period there? Just obviously they create a lot of chances, their forecheck. Anything specific you saw just in the defensive end maybe tonight?
We all got to be better supporting the puck. It starts with me. I turned over the puck a lot. There was a lot of miscommunication, just wanting to play fast, wanting to get on top of them. But obviously we didn't have full possession, or there's more pressure than we thought. So it's tough to kind of get that puck up quick.
Celebrini speaking more and more like he will be the captain of this San Jose Sharks team in the near future. We are all out of time. Be sure to join us Wednesday at 6 o'clock when the Sharks take on the Avs in Colorado, their last game for the Olympic break. Then they do not play again until the 26th when they play host to Calgary. 5:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network, 6 o'clock go time, the Sharks taking on the Avs. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.